This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Choco Perfection, the only sugar-free chocolate sweetened from chicory root fiber. It doesn't raise blood sugar levels, and it supports the growth of beneficial probiotic flora. Choco Perfection supports weight loss as part of a low-carb eating program. Plus, it has all the beneficial antioxidants of chocolate. And it tastes great, like a really good chocolate bar. Just in time for Valentine's Day, you can get free 3-day shipping. To order, go to chocoperfection.com. That's chocoperfection.com, or call 800-332-1773. That's 800-332-1773 for Choco Perfection. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is a very special edition of Intelligent Medicine Podcast because we're trying to offer a timely response to a big story in the news, the story that, you know, in case you have been off planet Earth or maybe on some sort of monastic retreat, everybody's heard about it. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman has... issued an edict that several retailers in New York State, GNC, Target, Walmart, and Walgreens, stop selling herbal supplements. Why? Well, tests by the Attorney General allegedly have found that many of them did not contain the herbs listed on their labels. So today we're going to turn to an expert. He is a reliable source on herbs. He is the executive director of the AHPA, the American Herbal Products Association.
No.
I'm sorry. No. Excuse me. Mark Blumenthal, why don't you take it from there? American Botanicals.
Council.
ABC. Excuse me.
Right.
There's ABC, a different.
It's that simple.
Okay. ABC. It's. It's there's a song that goes ABC.
There is.
I've been talking to so many people about this issue that it's sort of like it's like Brian Williams. You know, my recollection is confused. All right. So ABC, American Botanical Council. Tell us first of all, situate this a little bit, because tell us where you're coming from as executive director of ABC. What is ABC? Is ABC a lobbying group, a pro supplement group, or more of a informational group?
Yeah, it's the latter. We are an independent scientific research and education organization made up of scientists, researchers, educators, medicinal plant health professionals who use medicinal plants like yourself. So that would be integrative physicians and acupuncturists, naturopaths, herbalists, etc. We also have members from industry, members from university and academia, libraries, and we have members in 81 countries. So we've been called an international herbal medicine think tank. But
okay.
We're not a lobby organization. We're not a trade association. The herbal industry in the United States is well represented with 5 different trade associations who do lobbying and advocacy on their behalf. We don't involve ourselves with that directly. People use some of our published materials sometimes to either support or sometimes oppose various types of legislation or regulatory initiatives, but we don't engage directly in that domain.
Okay, so let me just, full disclosure here. Do you have any skin in the game in terms of products that you sell or manufacture? Do you work for any particular companies? Are you a spokesperson for GNC, Target, Walmart, or Walgreens?
I have no relationship with the 3 of the companies you mentioned, Target, Walgreens, or Walmart. And full disclosure, GNC has been a very valued sponsor member of ABC for many, many years. They support our work. They use the information we send. We don't have any programs going with GNC per se, other than the fact that they are just donors for our organization, and they probably or hopefully use some of the scientific and clinical information that we publish that's available to anyone.
But for the sake of argument, if GNC were offering adulterated or fraudulent products, you would not be loath to bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak. You'd have to call it as you saw it, correct?
That would be correct. And in this case, as for the press release we put out and other pronouncements and interviews I've had all week since this thing hit the fan on Tuesday, I think it was the 3rd of February, for clarity, we believe the following on this. We're not trying to defend the organization, the companies that are involved here, or their products. Our position is simply one of asking serious scientific questions regarding the technology and methods utilized in this study or in the testing that went on that formed the basis for the Attorney General's cease and desist letters sent to the four companies with respect to the six or seven different herbs in question sold in the state of New York.
Well, let's frame the issue, because I'm going to spell out the allegations, and then we can talk about whether this is the end all and be all of this controversy, or whether there are other points to be introduced. It says here that samples of the supplements, and we're talking here ginkgo biloba, St. John's wort, ginseng, and echinacea. These were the main ones. Were purchased from various locations around New York, and each sample was tested five times. Mm-hmm. In four out of five cases, this according to New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman in his office, the tests showed that the pills contained nothing more than fillers, such as asparagus, rice, wheat, or even houseplants. And here's the quote that his office issued. Quote, "This investigation makes one thing abundantly clear. The old adage, buyer beware, may be especially true for consumers of herbal supplements." Mr. Schneiderman added that the herbal supplements, quote, "also pose unacceptable risks to New York families, especially those with allergies to hidden ingredients." He says further that mislabeling, contamination, and false advertising are illegal. He is asking each company to provide more detail on the production, testing, and quality control of the herbal supplements sold at their stores. The subsequent response was that Walmart pulled the products. I believe Target has recently pulled the products. Walgreens pulled the products. Walmart said it would do so also. And GNC told the New York Times the company would cooperate with the Attorney General in all appropriate ways, but it stood behind the quality and purity of its store brand supplements. And this refers to specifically store brand, which might be different than, say, an example of not a store brand would be a Centrum. That's not a store brand. That's a, something made outside the store. But there are what are called house brands or store brands, Walgreens, GNC, their private labeling. And these are the ones that were subject to question. So this, it's actually a cease and desist, was narrow in scope because it looked just at the house brands, which are generally, the more economical brands. People say, it's $10.95 for the name brand, but it looks like I can get a bargain on the house brand at $6.95, so I'll go for the house brand, correct?
Correct. And what you find is sometimes the house brand may have some of the same quality or same type of ingredients as the name brand, and sometimes the house brand may have a different form of the herb than you find in the name brand. It depends on the situation. I have not taken a look at this point at what GNC and or Target, Walmart, or Walgreens have offered as far as what is in their capsules or tablets with respect to these products. But I do know that people have often been somewhat suspicious of some house brands because of the price proposition. They are low price. They're very competitive. And people have often said, well, gee, can they really sell a decent quality material in that low price? How can they do that and all that kind of stuff? And this is not new. People have been raising these kind of questions or raising an eyebrow or two sometimes for years. This is not new. But the issue here is what was in these products as determined by the AG's test. And the big issue is this. How did the AG test these products or have them tested? What is the applicability of the testing protocol, and to what extent are they reliable, and how many scientists would agree that using, what in this case, DNA technology as the sole method of analysis, is that appropriate for these products? The answer might be, if it's just herbal powdered, you take a capsule and you fill it full of powdered ginseng root, or some kind of leaf or whatever, yes, it would be, DNA would tell you if it's ginseng or not, because it could detect the DNA in the ginseng. However, if it were a ginseng extract, and in the case of ginkgo, in most cases, Ginkgo is sold as an extract, not just the powdered leaf, or sometimes it's extract with powdered leaf added.
The so-called standardized, the ginkgo side part, it's
ginkgo
a chemical.
The
ginkgo lides, which are a chemical that is found within the ginkgo plant, but it doesn't actually have any organic material in it. It is a chemical without a DNA signature, correct?
That's right. In other words, when you take an extract of ginkgo or ginseng or whatever, you're extracting what they're called the phytochemicals, the naturally occurring chemicals found in the plant. You're not extracting the starch from the root in the case of the ginseng, or the fibers. Or in the ginkgo leaf, you're not extracting the fibers either, which is where the DNA resides. It doesn't reside in the actual chemistry that you're pulling out using water or alcohol or other solvents to make a liquid extract, and then that liquid extract is further processed and mixed and standardized or concentrated and then dried to put it into a tablet or capsule form. So what you get when you have an extract is you have a full representative of the chemistry of that plant part, minus the fiber, minus the starch, if it's any in there, minus usually the DNA. And if sometimes DNA does come across in the extraction process, it's been known to happen. DNA sometimes can DNA signature testing can sometimes detect DNA from plants and plant material, but often it's not there, or often it can be denatured or degraded. The DNA can be denatured or degraded because heat and other processing techniques can often denature or degrade the DNA. So it is widely known among people who are knowledgeable about DNA testing of plant materials, or animal materials for that matter, that DNA technology is not applicable. It's not fit for purpose. It's not appropriate for testing herbal extracts as opposed to herbal raw material and powder. And if you were to use such DNA testing to test an extract or even a powdered herb, you're probably better off to build your case, especially as in this situation here with the AG trying to build a legal case or a regulatory case, either way. You would also want to control your study to ensure that you're getting accurate results that are reliable, especially since it's the basis for a legal action, by not just relying on one DNA test or five DNA tests on one product, but also look at microscopy. Put it under a microscope and see if you can detect the cellular structure under microscopy that is known for ginseng root, known for ginkgo leaf, because there's a library available of all these kind of microscopic structures that are available. And that there's another test you can do. There's different types of chemical tests that you can test for the presence or absence of certain chemical compounds that are known to be markers and known to be particular, like the ginkgolides in ginkgo, which reside only in ginkgo. You can't find ginkgolides anywhere else. And so if you use a suite, S-U-I-T-E, of different valid, scientifically valid analytical methods, not just the DNA, but you use multiple methods to corroborate your results, then you have a much stronger case about what you get, what you have. And if there's a problem where you get negative results, like in the AG situation, where you have so many negative results that came out, that should have been a warning sign. That should have been a yellow or red flag that, A, they may not be operating their methods properly, A, they may not be operating with the proper method for detection, or C, they should maybe go to another lab and get confirmatory testing, especially before you go public with just the results from one lab. And there's yet another log to put on this fire. The lab that they used, with no disrespect to the professor there, he's an evolutionary biologist, according to all the information we can find on him on Google. The evolutionary biologist with a strong emphasis on reptilian biology, which is perfectly fine, but not necessarily appropriate and expert in the area of testing finished dietary supplements, plant material, etc. So it's possible that lab had inadequate experience testing the type of products they were testing.
You know,
also play in.
Right, absolutely. You know, I have some familiarity in testing of supplements because I've been involved with formulating supplements. I have tested sometimes raw material that's come to me that I've purchased for my supplements, and I generally run tests that involve a technology called HPLC, which is high pressure liquid chromatography. Could you tell us about that?
It used to be called that. Now it's called high performance liquid chromatography. performance are.
Okay, fine. Better yet, I like high performance. So what could that? That's more of a chemical signature rather than the presence of where what planet came from.
Right, but here's the other side of that. Of course, or an amplification of that is the chemical signature can be characteristic of different plants and plant parts, even different species of plants, because different species of plants often have the presence or absence of one or more marker compounds that are found only in that species and are not found in that particular species. So you can sometimes you can differ and often you can differentiate one plant from another plant in the same family, in the same genus, where they're grouped together closely, just to make sure it's the right plant. And this is how officially recognized pharmacopeial monographs are set up, often employing HPLC and other similar chemical types of testing, and what are called scientifically valid and even validated testing methods. And a validated testing method is a scientifically valid testing method means that validation has happened where that testing method has been shown to be repeatable and reliable in multiple laboratories, and that's a really important aspect because the essence of science is repeatability, isn't it? Reproducibility.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, a couple of things. You know, one conclusion that you could draw, and this is the conclusion that Schneiderman would have you draw, is that these supplements are crap. That they're, adulterated, that there's nothing there, that they're basically selling, they're selling rice powder to people, or asparagus powder to people when they're supposed to have active herbs. The other conclusion that one could draw from this is that there's something to this. However, the broader conclusion that the whole supplement industry is bogus is not necessarily, something that you can draw from this, because you might say, well, yeah, maybe there is a possibility that, certain house brands of generic supplements that are inexpensive, discount brands, maybe they're not as high quality or as rigorously tested or manufactured as the stuff that's made by, very, very reputable, say, physician dispensed brands. I mean, I all the companies that I've worked with have reacted to this, and they've said, look, this can't happen to us because we test the materials before they come to us. We test them after we put them in pills. We randomly audit because we want to make sure that when we say this is 70% EGCG extract, it really is between 71 and 69%. And, there's a self-imposed integrity on the process that may cost the consumer a couple more dollars.
Because the companies have set their specifications according to the government's GMP rule, the Good Manufacturing Practices rule, and they set certain specifications, and everything has to be, all their record keeping, all their testing, all their quality control has to revolve around the set of specifications. And unfortunately, often the marketplace, especially with the cheaper brands, the only specification, or sometimes the key specification, is price, and it's not really about the quality of the raw material. And that's an unfortunate perspective on some of the products in the marketplace. And let me just say, I cannot speak for or against the quality or the identity or the authenticity of any of the plant products or the herbal products that are being targeted by,
because you haven't been given an opportunity to test them, and you would probably be delighted to be a consultant on some sort of rational scientific project to validate or debunk the conclusions by the Attorney General.
I'd even relish the idea to be an insultant in that project. But anyway,
yeah.
But anyway, here's the situation. Because of the inadequacy and the lack of robustness in the obvious in the apparent protocol used at the university by the AG, the New York AG, there's over reliance on one type of protocol without controls, one type of method without controls, without testing in a second or even a third lab. We have to say that we don't really know what the quality of these products are. We don't really know whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, or mediocre. We don't know that because the jury is still out, because they have not been properly tested and publicly shared. We don't know that now.
That's interesting, right? Because one demand that has come from some of the trade associations is, show me your data. divulge your testing methodology, because here you're basing, you know, what essentially is a civil and potentially criminal action, a regulatory action, on a test which has not, the methodology has not been divulged.
Right.
And the public does not have access to this. This is almost like, the Star Chamber has convicted these supplements with massive press releases and a very showboat kind of government action, supposedly on behalf of consumers. But show me the data.
Right. And the Attorney General's office, reportedly, according to some of the stuff I've read this week, have said they cannot give that information because this is an ongoing investigation. When asked if the information and the data from the laboratory were peer-reviewed, they also used that canard, I call it a canard, saying that, no, this is an ongoing investigation, and they haven't done that. Now, I will beg to defer respectfully with the AG's office if that, in fact, was an accurate report. You don't always know that things that you read are accurate, what the people say, but the point is, peer review could have been done with qualified experts under a non-disclosure and secrecy agreement with the full knowledge that this is being used for regulatory or legal enforcement actions, possibly depending on the outcome, and you give certain respected scientists the opportunity to review this, scientists who are qualified by training and experience in this area. This apparently has not been done.
Right. Now, well, Mark, clearly, they could have said, look, let's go through our Rolodex here. You know, who are the herbal experts in the United States? Who are the, experts in pharmacognosy and botany and so on? And you're on that Rolodex. And they could have said, look, we're going to reach out to you on a secret basis. This is, you're going to have to sign a confidentiality agreement and don't divulge this. And we want you to inform us because we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to get out ahead of this story. And if you have a problem with the way we've done this, we'd like to strengthen our case by doing the right kind of testing. That reach out never went to you as an expert in this field, because now you're saying that there's faulty methodology. They could have actually ascertained that earlier on if with just a phone call or an email.
Well, I didn't say it was faulty methodology. I said it was methodology that is maybe not adequate and fit for purpose for the type of product that these are.
Okay, you choose your word carefully, and I think that's correct.
And also that, the whole thing, the whole program could be faulty because they may have, and my press release, which is at herbalgram.org, an extensive press release with references, basically said in the title that the AG, the New York AG, has misused the science here in relation to what's going on. Let me be clear about something. They don't have to come to Texas for an expert on this. They've got lots of experts up in New York. You've got the New York Botanical Garden. You've got Dr.
Yes.
Damon Little, who's an expert in DNA testing of plant material. He's published extensively in this area. Why they didn't, if they want to keep it in New York, why didn't bring him in on this deal? They would have come up with probably a much better result, not necessarily positive or negative, but a better result in the matter of reliability of the conclusions, wherever the chips may have fallen. But you don't have anybody in the botanical community, in the botany community, that is reputable with respect to analysis and publications in this field that we can see that have been included in this test. You have a reptilian biologist, so I'm not taking him on. I don't have any disrespect for him. He may be one of the greatest guys in the world. He's probably a wonderful person and a good scientist, but the question is, when you're going after companies like this, you're going after headlines. This could be high-profile cases. You want to have the best possible science on your side, and I don't think the New York AG can claim to have the best possible science on their side at this point.
I think that's very well said. And this is a good inflection point at which we can pause, because we generally divide these podcasts into two parts. So when we return, our guest is Dr. Mark Blumenthal. He's actually executive director of the American Botanical Council. You can get their information, by the way, very, very useful resource. Sign up for the Herbalgram at herbalgram.org. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about, what are the implications of this sting operation for you, the consumer? Should it impugn our faith in the supplements we buy? And what precautions can we take to make sure that we're getting what we pay for? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.